Session number 17628, Mr. Joseph Clark, reel 15.
Mr. Clark, reel 15.
Yeah, you would mix with the civilians to a degree, did you, Mr. Clark? What were they like? How did they treat you?
Oh, they treated us all right. In fact, we even arranged a football match with one of the Cypriot people, which was in Cato Lacatamia. We had an interpreter there, but I don't know anything about him. But he was attached to battalion headquarters. But he used to go to anywhere where they needed him. He was just a young fella.
Civilians, you suggested, were helping to build the
runway. The runway, yeah. Yes.
Obviously, Cyprus is a pleasant island of fruit and so forth. You would be seeing things you'd not... Mm-hmm. Seen for many years, if mm-hmm. you've seen them at all, what mm-hmm. was happening in that?
Well, we seemed to be allowed, every so often there was so many of the men allowed down into Nicosia, but you went by your own trucks. You see, when you went over there, when we went over there, there was no transport taken, it was there, because the people we were relieving, they left their transport there, and they picked up at the other side when they got to Palestine, you see. So you weren't transferring trucks and everything backwards and forwards. But there were so many allowed into Nicosia, but they weren't escorted. There was always at least one sergeant, and those corporals, and you had what we would call picket duty. A sergeant might take about two or three or four men with them, and they were on duty, and their job was to be in Nicosia walking around, and if anybody got out of order, well, of course, he was whipped in. He was put back in the truck, and he was for it when he got back. Because there was always somebody, you know, they would get too much to drink. Well, it was up to the escort to see them back on the trucks.
This was in addition to the regimental police and the military police.
Well, oh yes. The military police, that was the thing. If you got into the hands of the military police, well, of course, it was a CO then. You were up front of the colonel, commanding officer. But as a rule, the escorts, their job was to see them, to keep them in good order. If they were going to get out of order, they would ship them. And of course, you got different men each time with different NCO. So it wasn't that somebody was put there just to do you. In fact, some of the men that went on the night out there might be on picket within the day or so. So it was well organised.
Was there any major problems between the army and the civilians, to your knowledge?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. Of course, Cyprus was Cyprus then, not like it is today.
What kind of entertainment was there in Nicosia for you?
Well, there was pictures and, of course, there was the usual houses of what have you.
Brothels.
Yeah, that was the word. We learnt that name. Yeah.
Did men suffer from VD?
There was some, yes.
Were they reporting sick with it?
They had to report sick. And of course they were sent on, field ambulance. I don't know, there would be a place after that, probably a hospital. But they were away for a few days then.
Had you set up a preventive unit, which they were supposed to go to before they went to look for prostitutes or get relationships?
There was some method at these places. But that would be run by the RAMC, I would think. It wasn't run by our lot. That would be the medical corps through the field ambulance to control such a thing.
Was it a problem? Was it becoming a problem with the numbers of men who were catching it?
No. No.
Because it was an offence, wasn't it, to catch it?
Self-inflicted. If you hadn't taken precautions, it was self-inflicted. So if you had taken precautions, I believe, it's a long time, I believe if they went to one of these, what they called ET centres, early treatment centres, they were given a sort of a chitty or something, you know, which could be handed in if anything happened to them, to prove that they had taken precautions. I believe that sort of thing existed.
Were there more correct relationships with girls on Cyprus?
Do you know, I never knew any of my lads that I was in the forces with there. Personally, I never knew any that got on with any Cypriots. Probably sat and talked, went into one of these, what did they call them? Where the hell, they had a dance on, you know. And they could, if they wanted to dance with one of the girls, they had to pay so much money. How was that worked out?
Get tickets or something like that? Yeah,
maybe, something like that. But they weren't just there for prostitution. I believe some of them, if any of the lads wanted to buy them a drink, they used to pay for it over the bar. But I believe the stuff them girls would be drinking, it could have been water for all they knew. There was something like that went on. I never got involved in that.
What kind of thing did you get involved in? What kind of entertainment or leisure did you seek out?
Football. I liked football because I'd played for the battalion in France.
And you'd be playing against other units, were you not?
Oh, yes. But while I was there, Cyprus, wherever the MO went, he would maybe detail me, or sometimes I used to send my friend there, Charlie Bird, whom I'd picked in Tiverton. I would say, oh, you go up there. And we used to go around the companies. And this MO, he was a young lad, he was very, he was good. He wasn't a military man, but of course he'd had to be trained. But what he didn't know, we were able to tell him, either Charlie or me, you know. And I remember one time going up onto one of the companies, and he was having a sick parade. Instead of them all, this was up near this aerodrome where they were building the runway. And he, when he got there, we had the truck back then. There's Jack Holt, the driver, and me. We went with the doctor. And by the time he got there, the NCOs were just bringing the men out on parade. This, I think it was for a skin examination, I think. And after he'd finished, when we're coming back, he'd had to wait for the men, which wasn't the thing for an army officer, but he was a doctor. And I said to him, you know, when you have arranged a parade like that, they should be on parade when you arrive. Just talking to them like you and me. I says, they should be on parade, you know. You shouldn't be waiting for them. And he never said anything. But the next time he went up, I forget what company it was, the next time he went up onto this, where the aerodrome was, they were digging trenches as well, of course. They weren't on parade. So he said to the sergeant or sergeant major, when I come up here, these men have to be on parade. See, you know, and he's telling them in his words something like, you see that they're on parade the next time I come up here. So he must have listened to what we'd been saying previously, and they were on parade. But he was very strict with time. In fact, he was better than me with time. If he said 7:30, that's what it had to be. 8:00, it would be 8:00 or whatever. But he was a good, good MO. He called him Captain McKenna. I think he'd come from the Cameronians when he arrived with us in Tiverton.
The cheap food on the island?
You could get lots of grapes. There was oranges. There was a lot of olive trees there, I believe, and all. But their vineyards, they used to be, to me, they looked like fields. You know, they weren't grown in trees, rows of trees. They could grow them on the, more or less like fields. Yes.
The local drink, did Ben get involved with the local drink?
There was some stuff they used to sell there. If you got 2 or 3 drinks of it, it would send you around the wheel. And I think the name was Commander Rhea, something like that. Commander Rhea. But I remember one time the company was paraded, and the doctor must have learned something, you know. Of course, he used to go work the field ambulance. He wasn't a Durham Light Infantry, he was a medical man. And I remember him, it was on an inspection of something, he got an old petrol tin, empty, and he had a bottle of what there was, beer or whatever, call it beer, Commander Rhea, whatever. It might have been this Commander Rhea that they were selling. Down in Nicosia, that's the only place to get it. There was no shops or anything in Cato Lacatamia. And he just told them to take notice, and he poured this bottle out into the petrol tin, and then he set fire to it. And he says, that is what some of you have been drinking. He says, it's almost like methylated spirits. I said, well. So whatever they were selling, some of it, I think the name was Commander Rhea, like. You couldn't drink much of that or else you'd run a mile. But the MO got to know about it. Because some lads, you say, were reporting sick, but what they were only suffering from a hangover.
Was drunkenness an increasing problem amongst the men?
No, not really. No, not really.
Presumably you just had your hard drinkers who
Yes.
Would drink anywhere.
They would drink anywhere when they got a time off. get out. But they had to go on the party that went down to Nicosia. That was the only place, really. I remember when I spent 1 week when I was in Cyprus. I was sent on a course. I had to go up to battalion headquarters, and of course it had been recommended by the doctor. I knew I was still just a corporal then.
You had two stripes.
I had two stripes then. In fact, I got my second stripe before I landed in Egypt. I was made a corporal on board the ship. But I went, and that Sergeant Nimmons I told you about, he was battalion orderly sergeant. Yeah. I was told I had to go on this course with a lieutenant. Oh, what was his name? He was from C Company. I think it was B or C Company. I think his name was Cunningham. I think his name was Lieutenant Cunningham. And we had to go down to Nicosia, and we went for a malaria course. Apparently there was a lot of malaria in Cyprus. And there were from all different companies. But I was a junior, they were nearly all sergeants, but I was a corporal. And went on this course with Lieutenant Cunningham. Of course, he was billeted away. I was billeted just with other ranks, sergeants and what have you, not with officers. I wasn't even in the sergeant's mess, because I was still just a corporal. But when the sergeant went, they went to a sergeant's mess. We used to get our meals at an army barracks called Woolsey Barracks, which is probably still in Nicosia. It was a British army barracks, and that was what they called it, Woolsey Barracks. And I remember being, when I went up, well, the first day I went for my meal, breakfast, to this barracks. Went up to the dining hall, and having just been with men all the time, I lined up with the men to queue for your meal. As I say, I was the only corporal on this course. All the others was officers and sergeants. And I was standing in the queue, of course, you only had mess tin, never had nothing else. Plate was out of the fashion, nowadays, even a knife and fork. And while I was there was a corporal, I think it was, came over from the, he was one of the cookhouse men, the dining room NCOs. He says, Corporal, come away a bit. He says, you don't have to queue up with the men. I thought, well, boy, that's strange. He says, come with me. And in the corner of the dining hall was a table, maybe two tables. And he says, you'll get your meals here with the NCOs, the corporals. So I had to go and have my meals with the corporals that were already at the barracks. But you see, with having been in France and Belgium and living with the lads, you got so attached to them. And we hadn't the provisions to be corporals' mess and sergeants' mess. Even the sergeants in the, you know, when you were in action, they were living with the men. But anyway, that was an experience I had, and I was given a plate. So I had my meals on a plate instead of out the mess tin. So that was one experience.
What, do you recall what they taught you about malaria?
Yes. The civilian people, those civilians, and they took us to various places. And one place they took us to was a pool, big pool. And they had on their backs a sort of a canister. And they took us to this lake, and you could see this was, the water was dead water. And they showed us this is where the mosquitoes breed. And what they did, they said, what we do is they spray the water. And I think he said the stuff was in was called Paris Green. What that was, I don't know. But you could spray it with paraffin, I suppose. But that was to kill the larva. And that was one of the things they showed us, which we, of course, later on, it had to be done. That was to keep the malaria down, kill the mosquito larva. Another thing they took us to a different buildings. You couldn't all go in together, you know. And we went into sort of a, well, it wouldn't be a farmhouse, something like a farmhouse or a barn, say a barn. And they had a glass funnel, maybe about less than half an inch diameter, maybe about half an inch, not more. And on one end of it, they had a rubber tube fitted over the glass tube. And they had a torch. And they went into where it was dark, and they shone the torch where these mosquitoes were. And I thought it was strange, but thinking about it, it wasn't. They put the rubber tube in the mouth, and they put the glass, end of the glass, over the mosquito and sucked it into the glass, and then covered the end. So you had a rubber tube with a glass funnel and maybe one or two mosquitoes in, sucked them in, because the glass was long and you wouldn't swallow them, you know. And they said, now what we do there, that's to find out what kind of mosquito is breeding here. And they said, the only mosquito that'll give you malaria is a female. So a female mosquito gives you malaria if it bites. And that was something I learned, which was interesting at the time. But we used to get out. I used to go out with some of the sergeants, into Nicosia. But we were just sleeping on the floor in a, it was more like a bungalow that had been taken over by the military.
Just coming back to malaria before we leave it, did they teach you how to deal with it if someone got it?
Well,
or preventative
medicine? No, if anybody got that, they were shipped straight off to the field ambulance.
The unit weren't issued with tablets through the MO to take regularly. I can't remember what they were, Mepoprin?
I believe we were, you know.
Which they had to take.
I believe we were.
Did you stay at this point that you've mentioned?
I was only there about 5 days, I think.
When you moved back to the runway where you were stationed and working, did you stay there all the time, or did you move at some point into the middle of the island, or the island area?
Stayed there. We were in Kato Lakatam, yeah.
The whole time you were on Cyprus.
This was my, where I was, the company.
Were you doing any manoeuvres and schemes at all?
Well, there was route marches and training. There's one time I was given a job to go with this driver again. As I say, he was a good lad. He'd come from Manchester actually, with the King Shropshires. And I was told I had to go to Limassol. This was me getting detailed off. I had to take Jack Holt, the driver, him and I, and we had to go to Limassol to pick up a sergeant who was down there in Limassol. And it was a good run from Nicosia to Limassol. Anyway, we set off. We had the map. And we followed this route. And that was where I saw the grapes growing on the, like as I say, like a field. It was on the way to Limassol because Jack stopped the truck. He says, let's have a look. And naturally, we took one or two. And we went on and we stopped at a place called to have a rest. He wanted a rest because it was warm. It was an open truck. I think it was a 1500 weight. I'm not sure what it was, a Chevrolet or a Bedford. I'm not sure. But he said, we'll stop here. And we stopped in this village. And we got a, I think it was coffee. I don't think we got tea there. And we got something to eat. It was more like a restaurant type of thing. And I can't remember the name of that village. Something like Scatter now comes up, but never mind. And while we were there, I arranged with the landlord, said, look, we're going on to Limassol. We'll be back here in such and such a time. I don't know, I might have said hour, 2 hours, something like that. And would we be able to get something to eat if we stopped? Well, of course, he was over the moon. He was getting trade. So we went on to Limassol, and it was great driving along the shore. The Med was just lapping up practically onto the road. Lovely, driving along. Now, we enjoyed that. And when we got to Limassol, there was military police and plenty of soldiers around, you could ask. Said, we want to be to hospital Polymedia. That was the name, Polymedia. And eventually we found it. I can't remember the name of the sergeant. Anyway, we picked him up, because he was over the moon. He was coming back to his battalion. I can't even say which company he was in. He might have been in HQ. But anyway, we picked him up and we came back, same route as we'd taken. And we stopped at this restaurant and had some more to eat. I don't know where it was. But it practically took us all day to go from Cater Lacatamia to pick this sergeant up and bring him back. But that was my job, I had to see him back.
Did you sense any problem between Greek and Turkish Cypriots?
No, not at that time, no.
Were they basically friendly towards you, the Cypriots?
Uh-huh, yes. Oh, yes. I believe I once saw I think it was in Cyprus. There was a wedding took place in the village. Of course, it was something strange to us. We didn't know. It lasted about 3 days or more. It was one of these Greek Cypriot weddings. We didn't know what it was all about, you know, but still, I actually saw something like that there. Yeah.